I'm Patrick Scahill for WNPR News. When you think of science, your mind probably jumps to famous minds or to world-changing ideas. But what about the tools that made those great innovations possible? I met up with a scientific glassblower who fabricates test tubes, beakers, and much more. Whether it's making blood vessels for human transplant or looking out into the cosmos through precision telescopes, so much of what happens in science relies on glass. But before we get into how you make scientific glass, a little trivia.
Yeah, what I'll ask you, is glass, is it a liquid or a solid?
A slow-moving liquid?
No.
Ah.
It's an amorphous solid.
Daryl Smith is a scientific glassblower based at Yale University, and that noise you're hearing in the background is a methane-powered flame. It's burning at thousands of degrees, heat Smith is using to mold glass.
Now, you said it was a super slow-moving liquid. You ever hear that story where they have the old colonial windows and they show them thicker at the bottom?
That was the basis of my answer.
Yeah, that's a myth.
Damn it.
No, that's fine. Glass does not flow over time.
Smith says scientists know this because they've observed a naturally forming glass called obsidian. That gets created through volcanic activity, and he says it's shown no signs of flowing over time, even though it's been sitting in caverns for millions of years. As Smith talks, he's doing some pretty amazing work. A lathe is spinning a glass tube, and in one hand he's holding a hot torch with a burning blue flame at its tip. In the other, he holds a heat-resistant stick, which he uses to form the glass. Pinched in between his lips is a plastic tube. It's latex and hollow, and as we talk, he's constantly pausing to blow into it.
When I heat that glass, it's going to collapse. So I blow into it to put pressure in it to keep it from collapsing.
As the glass spins, Smith is able to look directly into the flame, thanks to a pair of tinted sunglasses. But at this point, he says a lot of what he does, controlling the flame, rotating the glass, blowing into it, is all muscle memory.
I tell my students when I'm teaching, my brain doesn't know what it's doing. My hands have learned this. It's really, there's a lot of unconscious or subconscious workings going on because I do it without thinking.
All that stuff needs to be built to last, and as we move around the lab in the Yale Chemistry Building, he flips on a vacuum pump and pulls out a strange-looking device.
This is a Tesla coil. So that is kicking out electrons.
Can you do that again?
Yeah. We'll see here. And I'm going around and I'm testing all the connection points in all the other areas of this glass to make sure that there is no vacuum leak. A small leak, you know, big enough for an electron to pass through.
As we chat, a scientist walks in with a broken graduated cylinder. It's not an emergency fix, but Smith says that sometimes people come into his glass shop in their darkest academic hour. They're under deadline, their glass breaks, they can't get their compound analyzed.
They don't get their paper written, they don't get their grant money. I mean, it snowballed. So yeah. I've had them coming in, and that's why I'm here. That's why there's glass blowers that they have them on site, so that they can do those rush jobs.
Smith also teaches a glass blowing class. Since scientists must design a lot of their own experiments, he says it's important they understand the fundamentals of glass blowing and how to communicate their needs to a fabricator. And he says for some students, glass blowing is just fun, a tangible break from abstract theory and numbers.
They learn a little bit about the glass and its movement and things like that and the nomenclature, but you know, they also say it's very therapeutic. They come down here and they get mesmerized by the melting glass and the turning, and you know, they say that they do get, it has a relaxing effect to it too.
Starting out, he says students will craft things like round bottom test tubes and hose connections. They also make glass marbles, which they can share with their friends. Smith says there are probably only a few hundred people in the country who still do scientific glass blowing, and there are even fewer who are stationed full-time at universities. But for those who are left, there's a common bond, working behind the scenes to make important experiments and scientific advances possible. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.